Casino.com.
Today, we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I have a dream.
Now back to Softy and Dick on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, Robert Turbin, former Seahawk running back, going to join us in about an hour or so. Get his thoughts on what's happening over the Hawks over the offseason, find out what the hell he's doing. But joining us right now on the radio show, really, I think, the flag bearer for all NFL coverage for CBS. It's a big burden to handle, man. There's no question about it. You got to have thick skin. Our friend from CBS, been quite a while, Jason Lockenfora, joining us on the radio show. How the hell are you, man?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Not much, man. We're just sitting here watching everybody else in the conference finals for the seventh year in a row, getting kind of frustrated, man. I know it's tough. It's hard to win a championship. It's hard to make a run come playoff time, but it's going on 7 years now since that game against the Patriots, and Hawk fans are getting kind of antsy. What do you think?
Well, I think that's the league. You know, I think we're in this weird time where it's hard to step back and see things as they are sort of historically and what are the norms and what aren't. And we've got the dovetailing of this Tom Brady thing that is, that's just a freakazoid, right? 14-2 in the division round. Yep. I mean, in the championship game, pretty much every year, it seems like, or every other year through an entire 20-year career. That's bonkers. So we got that going on. And we got this Mahomes thing starting where now he's in a, you know, he's hosting a championship game, assuming he plays in this game, for a third straight year and maybe on the verge of winning back-to-back Super Bowls, and he's, what, 25 years old. Yeah. That's not the norm either. And so you've got these two just historical anomalies, these two figures. One has already, you know, is at the tail end of a career no one could have ever foreseen. The other one, not just people like me, but people who did it at the highest level, the Kurt Warners of the world, you know what I mean, the Phil Simms of the world, all thinking this kid might be the best ever, and it's happening in real time, and they're two of the final four. I think it kind of throws us askew, like Dan Marino never got, you know, never won one, got there once, you know. Brett Favre played forever. He's got one ring. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, great as he is right now, he's got one ring. Peyton Manning was in Indianapolis for 15 years. He got one ring. Sean Payton, Drew Brees, what a historic combination of play caller, head coach, and quarterback. Both, you know, Hall of Famers. They've got one ring, 15 years. It's tough, man.
And yet Pete Carroll just keeps this team in the position to go deep into the playoffs. What people are frustrated in is that he hasn't gotten back to the deep run since the 2014 season. But Jason, I made this comment last week. Last segment, and I want to get your take on this. I didn't see a big talent difference between the Seahawks and what I saw play this weekend at all. I saw a scheme issue. I saw a preparation issue. And that's what cost, I think, the Seahawks more so than they just don't have as good of players as the teams that are still playing. What's your take on that?
I think that's probably fair. I mean, most of these games at this point, it's a call or a non-call. You know what I mean? It's a drop. It's somebody making an amazing fingertip catch and somebody else having that similar catch, and then the ball, you know what I mean? Then your elbow hits the ground and you don't possess it all the way through. It really, even in games that look at the scoreboard and say, well, that couldn't have been all that close. Well, no, it really was. And then, you know what I mean? Somebody did this or they made this call. Somebody ran the wrong route and then it was a pick six and then everything changed. But up to that point, it was pretty much nip and tuck. You know, it seems like there is a sort of existential crisis there, or maybe there's no existential crisis at all. It appears like there may be because they've obviously, after a successful season, let go of a coordinator and are talking about offensive change. So you look at it at that level and say, okay, well, they're figuring out what they want to be. Except it sounds like the answer to the test before it's given is just run more, right? And run more vigorously and run a little differently, run more effectively, but more than anything else, run more. And maybe I'm reading it wrong, but that seems to be what's sort of emanating from there. And I don't know that that's going to necessarily solve this sort of conundrum you set up where, you know, they're good enough to seemingly get to a certain level but haven't been over the hump for a while. I'm not sure that's going to be the extra nudge they need.
Well, you're not reading it wrong at all, because that's exactly what Carroll said. He said specifically, I want to run the ball more. So we'll see what happens. But Jason Lockenfora with us on the radio show, and they need an offensive coordinator who obviously will placate Pete Carroll's thirst, his hunger for more of a running attack, but they also have a $35 million quarterback that they have to take advantage of. So who fits that bill the best out there in your mind? Doug Peterson, Anthony Lynn, Adam Gase. Yeah.
I mean, if you just want to run the ball as well as you possibly can, and you know what I mean, run a modern passing attack, but maybe not something that's at the vanguard of modern downfield passing, then I would say Anthony Lynn would be a perfect fit.
Do you have to run
There's a but there, though. He's not the guy you're talking about. I mean, you're obviously looking for somebody else in your mind, if you're Pete.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what they're doing. And if the signals they're sending are accurate signals, then that reads to me like Anthony Lynn would be the perfect fit for what they're looking for. Now, I don't know if what they're looking for is going to solve their problems or not, but for what they're looking for, that sounds like Anthony Lynn.
Well, when Philadelphia won the Super Bowl, they ran it as much as anybody. It was just a different type of running the football. It was the RPO, but it worked. I mean, does Doug Peterson come in here and fit?
I don't see Doug Peterson. He's going to take this year off. I don't see Doug Peterson taking any OC job. And I mean, that's a tough one anyway. No, I don't see that.
Hmm. Well, I think that there's not a perfect fit out there. I think you're exactly right. But I also believe that this is a pretty damn important hire, right? I mean, Dick and I got into a debate last week about how important the offensive coordinator is. And if he's right that it's a scheme problem and not a talent problem, then a right OC could mean the difference between losing in the wild card round and making the conference championship. Yeah. I mean, you tell us, just how important is this hire by the Seahawks right now?
Nice. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, I think ultimately at the end of the day, that's why I go back and forth. It's an existential crisis, but it's not. Because I think Pete knows exactly what he wants him to be. I think he has a very defined vision of what Seahawks football is. And so it's my vision of offensive coordinator and their vision of offensive coordinator aren't the same thing, I don't think. I think his vision of offensive coordinator is just don't mess it up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Don't, I agree.
Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah. Move the ball. Take the points when they're there.
Yeah.
We're not going to get cute with two-point conversions. We're not going to get cute on third and short, right? It's play to minimize risk and win the game through running the ball and playing defense. So under that archetype, you could argue it's not that important.
Does that work anymore? Because I agree with that archetype, but does it work anymore in 2021, or is that a thing of the past?
It's hard. I mean, they win 10 or 11 games every year. So it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like it's crazy talk, because you said it. They're in the equation every year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want him to hire Brian Daboll 3 years ago. That's the guy I suggested.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he got a look.
Would Kafka, if he was not staying in Kansas City, I know that, but just come on. If he was not staying in Kansas City and he was available, would Kafka be a guy that you would endorse? Would that kind of hire young guy?
I would endorse
guy,
him, but if I'm him and I'm in the situation I'm in now and I'm looking at that, I don't know that I want to be caught in the middle of the – I'm still only, whatever, 32 years old, and I'm going to be caught in the middle of a – a potential philosophical stare down between a $35 million quarterback and a coach who's done everything, won everything, been there, done that, who is basically telling you what he's looking for, which is, I mean, not that Kafka couldn't do that, but that's not sort of in line. His vision of what an offense coordinator does wouldn't be like checking the boxes that Pete seems to be wanting to check.
Yeah.
By the way, he's laid out what this job entails.
Well, that to me is a great point. It only took about 15 years, but you finally had one. It's a phenomenal point, Jason. I'll tell you why. Jason Lockenford, because we think here in Seattle, I think Dick and I do, and the fans do, that, hey, you got Russell Wilson, you got DK Metcalf, you got Tyler Lockett, you got, you know, some young backs, whatever, you got some young, nice, fresh offensive linemen. This is a pretty attractive job. Is it an attractive job? Is it really that attractive a job if all Pete Carroll is looking for is someone to come here and just run the ball? Why would a young, up-and-coming coach who desires to be a head coach want to go down this road when he can go down a different road?
Well, especially that one who's maybe going back to the Super Bowl again. So that road in particular, you're not going to divert off of. I have a hard time you selling me this as they're going to end up with, even if it's not going to be Kafka, but somebody else like that, because I think it'll probably be more like somebody who's done it before and kind of been there, done that, and is, you know, gets which way the wind's blowing and is willing to blow in that direction.
Jason, did the Hawks improve their chances of winning the division again next year because of all that's going on with the Rams? I mean, Brandon Staley gone, taking his OC with him. Jared Goff, you know, is uncertain to be quarterback. Yeah. Are they in trouble?
Well, I mean, what Brandon Staley did to me was nothing short of incredible. And if you know, you're asking me who I thought the best candidate was, of, you know, young guy, first timer, up and comer on that side of the ball. For me, it was Staley even more than Saleh. So yeah, I think that's a significant loss. I mean, they're still not in a tremendous cap and cash situation where they're going to be able to throw a whole bunch of money at problems. Scheme had to kind of be king, and it was. And there's other people who can run it, and you know that Vic Fangio wing of you know, younger guys who he's starting to sprout off of that Fangio family tree. There's other people who you can bring in who probably have the same philosophical understandings, but the fact that guy played quarterback, his perspective on it, I think he's really, really bright.
Yeah.
Doesn't take himself too seriously, was not one of these guys who was into having any sort of sideline persona, comfortable in his own skin, knows he might not be everybody's cup of tea, but players clearly relate to him. Sean McVay knows what he's looking for in coaches. He obviously has an eye not just for what he does, but for people who think like he does, which has been a pretty effective way to think in this league. So, yeah, I think that's a significant loss, and they are seemingly at a bit of a crossroads.
Yeah.
Arizona, everybody's going into there next year looking over their shoulder because it better be a breakthrough year or hell's going to come. Nothing lasts forever, and you only get to hire so many coaches until you're part of the problem too, GM. And San Francisco doesn't know who their quarterback is either, and you know, they're going to need a lot of guys coming back off of injury, having kind of seasons that you don't always get when guys come off of season-ending injuries together.
Right.
So, yeah, I think as much as we're sitting here talking about, you know, the angst involved in this hire, on the whole, I think they go into the off season with less real huge macro-level questions than a lot of these other teams in that division.
No question. Jason Lockenford of CBS. Who do you like this weekend? And more importantly, who do you like this weekend against the spread? I got to mention that.
I have not even looked. I have no idea what the spreads are.
Chiefs are given 3.5. Green Bay's given 3. Go.
Green Bay's given 3.
Mm-hmm.
I really wouldn't touch that game. Green Bay probably wins, but I have no idea right now, honestly. I think Buffalo can give Kansas City a game. I mean, I don't know who Kansas City's quarterback is yet, you know, so that's why I wouldn't be rushing to put any money on that just yet. I mean, a lot of us are assuming Patrick Mahomes is okay by the weekend, but probably won't be a normal week of practice for him. I have concerns about the state of their offensive line in Kansas City. I think the Buffalo Bills can beat them. If Mahomes is playing and you said 3, I would probably still take the Chiefs, but I think Buffalo will give them a game.
Well, he should, but I mean, hasn't Buffalo been outplayed in 3 of the 4 halves they've played in the playoffs thus far?
They haven't been great, but you show me the last time Kansas City played 60 minutes of good football.
Mm-hmm. The Jet game in like week 8.
You know, they've been dodging some bullets, and they've been looking like they're on cruise control and bored, and you know, just kind of like ho hum. Let's get to the real stuff. They were lucky they didn't lose to the Browns. You know, they were one call away from that possibly being the case. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I think there's a little something with the Bills. I think they're not playing great. There's a lot of things that aren't going well, but now the I think they're going to have a lot of confidence coming off of what they just did to Baltimore on the defensive side of the ball. And I thought they've underachieved on that side of the ball for a while this year. But I think they'll be up for this challenge. You know, and that, and when Josh Allen is right, and he's been right a lot this year, mm-hmm. they can score very quickly on that side of the ball. We haven't seen it the last few weeks. He's been content to take what they give. But, yeah, I don't think there's a huge difference between those teams. I don't.
Yeah, I don't think anything would surprise me this weekend. I mean, how could it? Three and a half, 3-point spread. I mean,
right.
Vegas is telling you all four teams have a shot to get to Tampa. Hey, Jason, before you go, Jason Lockenfora with us. Where does Deshaun Watson play football next year? What's your gut tell you? Houston. He's in Houston, okay?
I think so. If they hire Leslie Frazier as their head coach, I think Leslie Frazier's more than equipped. Handle that situation.
Gotcha.
If they go in some other direction, I don't know.
Great stuff, dude. Always fun to catch up. I know it's late out there. It's almost getting to be bedtime, pushing 8 o'clock in Baltimore. So best to the family. Get some shut-eye, man.
Shut her down, yeah.
Absolutely. Shut her down, hunker down, and we'll talk soon, man. Thanks, boss.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Always good to hear from you.
You got it, man. You bet. Bye. Jason Lockenfora from CBS. And I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just kind of a fascinating point because I don't know how attractive Pete Carroll is making this job for potential candidates out there. Right? Like if you're a young guy like a McDaniel or a Kafka or whoever, you know, mid-30s, and you want to be a head coach and you have aspirations to be a head coach, and you talk to Pete Carroll and he says, hey, look, we're just looking for someone to come in here and dominate this run scheme and, you know, give us, you know, a real running attack and complement it with Russell Wilson. Is that the path that most young coaches think they can take to be a head man? I don't know what Carroll's offering. I don't know what Carroll's vision is. It's easy for us to think he just wants to run the ball because that's what he said, right? But Pete Carroll often says things that don't come to fruition, right? He often leads us down a road publicly and then takes us down a different one when the game starts on a Sunday afternoon. So how attractive is this job?
I'm kind of surprised that Pete didn't just focus on the Rams game and say we needed to run the ball more and better
in
that
game. Right.
Versus saying we need to run the ball more and better in the future. Because like you said, that could very well close doors on some potential offensive coordinators if he does in fact feel that way. And why shouldn't we believe that he feels that way? I mean, that's kind of been his MO since he's been here.
Well, it's gotten him his greatest success, right?
Absolutely.
But it's also gotten him his greatest success when he has that elite level defense, which he doesn't have right now. He's got a very good defense, but not elite. I don't think anybody in the NFL is elite. Hell, we said this going into the playoffs, man.
No elite defense.
Look what the Packers did to the Rams over the weekend. You tell me that was an elite defense? I mean, the Rams are kind of a fraud, I think, on defense, which even makes the loss to the Rams, from our perspective, even tougher to take. That was not a great defense. It was great compared to the rest of the teams in 2020.
We played into their hands.
So what the
we
hell does
allowed
that mean?
Them to do exactly what they're good at. That's drop back passing, and they get after your quarterback.
All right, 440. Is there any concern out there, guys, about Russell Wilson, just simply put, is making too much money for the Seahawks football team to ever win another championship? The touchback controversy over the weekend with the fumble out of the back of the end zone. We did a poll on Twitter asking folks if that should have been a turnover and the ball should have gone back to the Chiefs in that game.
Update on the poll.
We'll update that and get your thoughts. Do you like that call? Do you like it? When an offensive player fumbles the ball out of the back of the end zone, the ball goes back to the opposing team. Do you like that? Or is it time to change that? 441-494-51 on the Coors Light text line coming up.